It's an interesting climate we find ourselves in today. They say it's a post-modern, post-Christian world. Don't know what you think of that, but a recent article I read just this week said only 44% of Australians now claim religion or Christianity as their faith. That's down from 52% 5 years ago. It's never been this low. I also read that Christianity is today the most persecuted religion in the world. Over the last year, 5,600 Christians were murdered. More than 6,000 were detained or imprisoned. Another 4,000 were kidnapped. And 5,000 churches and other religious facilities were destroyed. I don't think many of those were in Australia. And so what I see before us is a great opportunity to keep spreading the gospel, to keep sharing the good news of Jesus, while we still have freedom of speech, while there's still some of us left to share the good news. And so that's what I want us to lean into today. The Australian church has been complacent for too long. We've been taken it for granted that we live in a Christian country. We don't think we have to make disciples because everyone's just Christian anyway. It's no longer the way. And so it's time we got busy. And I'm not talking about getting busy, putting on more programs, running events, wearing ourselves out, getting tired, doing activities, or trying to be more attractional and fun. I want us to get busy making disciples, because that's what Jesus told us to do. He gave that command to his disciples before he left. Go into all the world, making disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I've taught you. And basically, he upheld three commands his whole life and ministry on earth. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. He said those are the two greatest commandments. And he added a third commandment: to go into the world to make disciples. Really, that's all he told his disciples to do. Love God, love others, make disciples. And I think the church does spend a lot of time talking about loving God. We spend a lot of time talking about loving one another. How much time do we lean into teaching our people to make disciples? How much time do we spend talking about that? And so today we're using this passage in Luke 10 to begin thinking about what making a disciple in today's era might look like for us. And Jesus gives a really simple strategy. He says to his disciples in Luke 10, my version says he sends out 72. I don't know what version that is that says 70, but you know, there's 71 people here apparently today. So roughly this number of people gathering around Jesus, and he says to them, carry no money belt, no bag or sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, say peace to this house. If a person of peace lives there, your peace will remain on him or her. If not, it'll return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the labourer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Simple strategy. So how can we apply that in our day and time? How can we live that out? What does this mean for us as we seek to go make disciples the Jesus way? You know, when we think of making disciples, we think, okay, well, let's work out our finances and work out our budget and pick an obvious target and create a clear action plan, which we are. We're doing our mission action plan. And we think we need to reach everyone all at once and just, you know, go for it and keep spreading, you know, trying to catch them all. But if we did it Jesus' way, we would be more focused on just making disciples one person at a time, one person a piece at a time, one relationship at a time. It's the way Jesus made disciples. It wasn't about money and finances and fervor and, you know, it's a different strategy. And so if we were to follow Jesus' strategy and look for people of peace, I wonder what that might look like for us. In Mount Eliza, where there's not too many Christians. And we want to make more disciples. Looking for a person of peace might be the most important thing we do, the most strategic direction. I've already found a couple. There's James down at Ad Hoc, and I know a few of us go down there, and he's very, very much open to me and all of us, open to our message, the message of Christianity. He wants to hear more. He'd go to church if he didn't have to work on Sunday. Did you know that? And he's willing to spread the message further. If we ever want him to advertise our church or do anything, he will. This is a person of peace for us. He's someone who is open to us, open to hearing our story, open to God's story, open to the news of Jesus, someone who is hospitable and welcomes us into their home or workplace or network, or to come join their family or friends, go to events. A person of peace is someone who is also known by others and able to draw together a crowd or even influence others without a crowd, just has impact and influence in the society. Someone who's faithful and shares what they've learned with others even after they've left your presence. So we can think of some biblical examples to try and get our head around what this person of peace concept is. One is the woman at the well in Samaria. Most unlikely person, but a person of peace for Jesus. Jesus was there. She was open to hear from Jesus and to listen. She offered hospitality. She was willing to give him a drink. She was well known by others, even if it was only for her ill repute with men. But she could draw a crowd, and she influenced people for Jesus after she left his presence. We know that she went to town and said to everyone, "Come, see this man who told me everything I've ever done." And we know the crowd gathered around him, and they wanted to hear more. They begged Jesus to stay in that town with them, and he did. She was a person of peace. The demon-possessed man, who was all chained up over the other side of the lake in Gerasenes. You wouldn't think of him as a person of peace. But when Jesus crossed that lake, he welcomed Jesus, welcomed him to that place. He was willing to hear from Jesus. He was well known. He could draw a crowd, even if it was only for his crazy behaviour. And Jesus found that he was faithful. After those demons were cast out of him, he wanted to follow Jesus everywhere he went. And Jesus said, "No, you go back home and tell all your family and friends what's happened to you." And we know he did. He went and told everyone in Decapolis. And we know this because the next time Jesus went back to that area, a huge crowd gathered to hear this man and all the stories that they'd heard about him. Some other examples from the disciples' ministry in the book of Acts. There's Cornelius. He gathered his friends and family to hear Peter talk about Jesus, opened his home. Lydia, her heart was open to respond to Paul's message, and she believed, and her whole household, and she invited Paul to come stay with her. Aquila and Priscilla. There's Jason. He had Paul and Silas come stay at his house. These are people of peace who are open to you, open to the messenger, open to the message, and will continue to spread the message afterwards. You get the concept, person of peace? Yeah? You're looking confused. Some are nodding. We get this, right? All right, we're good. Okay, so person of peace can live anywhere, can be anyone. So how do you find one? In Mount Eliza. Well, there's plenty of ways, but I'm just going to give you three simple ways today. Keep it simple. Pray, first of all. Jesus said, you know, pray to the God of the harvest to send out the workers. The harvest is ready. The workers are few. Pray. First of all, pray. Another way is you could go on a prayer walk. Walk through your street, your community. And as you pray and as you go, if an opportunity presents itself and God puts a person in your path, you could offer to pray for them. And if they are open to that, you could actually have a spiritual conversation after you've prayed. It's a great opportunity, and it is not that weird. It happens on the golf course. A friend of mine plays golf with someone regularly. these other golfers are not necessarily Christian and probably aren't always that open. But when there's a crisis in their life and they're sharing their story with you, there's an opportunity to say, well, would you mind, maybe I could pray about that, or can I pray for you there and then, or you can pray at home. And you can go back and you can follow up that at the next round of golf. You know, has God answered our prayers? What's going on, you know, for you now? And just opening up those spiritual conversations, people become more and more open to God. But you have to let them know that there's a God there. We're the people, we need to actually spread the good news and give them opportunity to respond. So prayer walking. I've seen many people win their neighbours to Christ just by offering to pray for them and just building relationship in that way. Another way is we could go into the community and ask, well, who is trusted in this community? Who are trusted people? Who are selfless in this community? And if you hear the same name over and over again, that is a good opportunity to build a relationship with that person. Just go to them. And you don't have to like preach at them or anything. Just see if they're open to some, you know, spirituality, if they're open to Jesus and the message or not. And I think we could do that in all our conversations. Just be conspicuously spiritual. So that's the third one. So the first one was go prayer walking, offer to pray for people. The second one is ask, you know, who is trusted or selfless in this community? Is there a relationship worth leaning into? Just test it. And I think just be conspicuously spiritual all the time. I'll tell you about a prayer walk I went on once. It was in Diamond Creek many years ago. And I'd just come back from Africa and I was praying, God, like, where's all the poor people here? You know, there's obvious needs in Africa, but where is the people to help here? I just want to help someone who's poor. And I was walking along in this park and there was a derelict man sleeping on the bench in the park. And it was a bit, you know, creepy and weird and there's no one else around, but I kept walking and praying and saying, God, well, if you want me to talk to him, I'll talk to him on the way back. And of course, he's there on the way back, and I'm thinking, oh, okay. So start this conversation, and that's all fine. And some others gathered around, and that was fine. We're just having conversations. I learned he's not really homeless. He's just a drunk, but he has a nice house over there. And all the whole story, building, you know, rapport and relationship with a whole group now because more people have gathered. And then later on, another guy comes over, and he's just actually trying to help this guy as well. And so we're there coming at it from different angles. Say he wasn't a Christian, this other guy, I'm going to call him Jeff, that's his name. And Jeff and I started building a relationship. And I said, well, he wanted to help the guy building a community garden and serving. But anyway, Jeff ended up coming to church and we actually go to the same gym. But he wasn't a believer yet. But we're just like walking and talking. Jeff had depression. Sometimes at the gym, he'd disrupt my workout and say, hey, do you mind if we just go for a walk? I need to talk with you. And we'd talk about spiritual things. We'd talk about God and say, God loves you. God has good plans for you. And I could just like feed into that. And it was really beautiful. He invited me into his whole network. You know, he's from America. So I went to his Halloween party and met all his family and friends and his wife. And this is a person of peace for me, because he's opening up all these relationships and doors, and the gospel message is going out. But I did meet him one day on the road with a friend of mine, Robin. And Robin said to Jeff within the first 2 minutes of meeting him, "What, you're not a Christian, you haven't actually made Jesus your Lord, then you're going to hell." Shut it down. He never talked to me after that. And it's a shame, but you can see how the concept works, drawing people closer to Christ. Everyone is somewhere in relationship to Jesus. And if you just go with the mentality that you just want them to come one step closer to Jesus, that's all that we are doing. Come one step closer to Jesus. One step closer to Jesus. But choose your mission partner. Jesus sent them out in pairs. Choose your mission partner carefully so that you're on the same mission and drawing people into Christ. That was a tangent that's not in my notes, but let's get back to this. So let's look for people of peace. Let's seek them out. Find a person of peace for you and invest heavily there. Don't go from house to house. Don't think you have to save everyone in Mount Eliza. Just lean heavily into those people of peace who are open to you, who are open to the message, who will share the message with you, for you, and after you've gone. Disciples who make disciples. That's what we're looking for. So a person of peace is someone who will spread the good news of Jesus in their family and friendships and networks. So we don't have to give ourselves to everyone and get tired and have shallow relationships, but invest deeply in just a few. So Jesus taught us that too. He had the 72 he sent out. He often talked to bigger crowds than that. 72 he sent out, spent most time intentionally with his 12 and even more time with his inner three. It's okay to invest more heavily in certain relationships. So this makes sense for us in our Christian climate today. I believe this is a way forward for the church to make disciples one relationship, one person at a time, the way Jesus did. And the time is now. The harvest is ready. People are open to Jesus. And don't worry about rejection. If they don't like your message, it's Jesus' message. Don't take it personal. Shake it off. Shake the dust off your feet and walk on, because they're really rejecting the Lord, not you. So think about who you're in spending your disciple-making time with intentionally. And sit with the Lord and pray and seek his direction, his guidance, which relationships to lean into, which I actually feel called to go back down to the hairdresser in Mount Eliza. She caught me in a street the other day and she'd known I'd been going to another hairdresser. She was a person of peace for me and I just didn't lean in. So I actually feel called to go back there and just lean in, build that relationship and see what God wants to do in that space, because she's really quite open to the Lord and what he wants to do there. One more story before I finish up. Another person of peace for me was when I was part of a church plant team over in Mernda and Doreen. We didn't have a church building yet and we didn't have an office. So we'd have our weekly staff meeting at the local bakery cafe, built relationship with the owners there, and we had our Sunday services in a school auditorium. Now, occasionally this auditorium just wasn't available. They didn't always give us notice, but they might just say, we've got exam tables set up in there, you can't use it tomorrow. And we go, oh, what do we do today then? And so one day we just went to the bakery owners and we said, hey, can we have church in your bakery? And they let us use their whole back area and backyard for church that Sunday. And they became real people of peace for us. Not church-going Christians, but very open and sympathetic to the things of Christ. And they became gateway people. And so they actually lived in my area, always offered to do food and things for the church. Even when they closed down their bakery, they didn't continue there. And we're still friends to this day. They're people who want to advance the gospel and will help spread the good news. And that's what we're looking for. So who in this town, in your network, in your friendship group, are you discipling? Who are your people of peace? I challenge you to sit with that the next week and just lean into those relationships. And I look forward to hearing your stories. When you come back, let me pray. Almighty God, Jesus Christ, we love you. We love your ministry. I know I get excited when I think about the impact that you had in the world on those around you, how effective your ministry was, Lord, just to spread the kingdom from those first disciples. And we know that people have spread it all throughout history, because we still hear about you today. We still know about you today. And we want that for future generations, Lord. Help us to find people of peace. Help us to find people who are open to hearing the good news and who will receive the good news and who will share and spread the good news for your glory, for your kingdom purposes. Use us, Lord. Amen.